The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, ladies and germs, and welcome back to Talking the Draft. This is Dalton Miller, joined as always by my co-host. Well, actually, no, that's a lie. I'm not always joined by my co-host, Connor Livesey, because half the time I'm not even here. I am for this episode, though, and we're going to have a fun topic today. We're going to talk about a position that everybody loves. Literally everybody loves this position, Connor, and it's one of the reasons it makes it so fun to talk about. And the other is I genuinely do enjoy watching this position. But first, Connor, how are you doing?
After that, like, sexually aroused intro that you just gave, I guess I'm doing okay, kind of uncomfortable, but it sounded like you were like a midnight host on like a...
I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable. I was just trying to be calm and cool. And I was actually going for that, like, late night talk show host type deal, but, like, not in a sexual way. Just in,
well,
like, a,
that's the thing,
I've had some whiskey.
It wasn't like Jimmy Fallon. It was more like sexual moms on Midnight Prowl.
I don't know what you are watching on your cable, but I think we should probably get into wide receivers before this gets too off the rails.
Is that a no pun intended, or
what? Wide receivers or off the rails? No, that was no pun intended whatsoever. Get your mind out of the gutter, Connor.
You're the one that started it off like this, but
I didn't mean to start it off like this.
Okay.
Listen,
right.
Just because I'm wearing provocative clothing doesn't mean I'm asking for it, Connor.
Oh my god. We are not on Zoom or video chat. This is just
me being really tired. Yep. You having your mind in the gutter.
No, but I'm my mind is focused on the three studs that are going to go in the first round.
Yes, let's talk about wide receivers who we believe are deserving of first round conversation. Now, this is a bit of a weird conversation because, I mean, like, we have a certain amount of round one grades at each position, but that doesn't mean that those are the only players that can go in those spots, because at the end of the day, you only have 15 to 20 first round grades anyways. Right. So some of these second round guys, we will understand if they go in the first and, you know, with the third and the second and the fourth and the third, and vice versa, but on and on. So let's talk a little bit about this first round, where maybe some of the fits are for these wide receivers, and, you know, how we see they should go.
I mean, I feel like off the bat, like, there's a really high chance that you're going to see the three top receivers go back to back to back. It is 11, 12, 13 or 10, 11, 12 with Raiders.
It's 11, 12, and 13 with the Jets, the Raiders, and the 49ers.
Right. You know, like, the Jets could possibly take an offensive lineman there that would throw that off, but I feel like the odds of that happening are pretty high. So, you know, if you're a team like the Broncos who need a wide receiver, like, you're going to have to move up to probably get a guy. So, you know, I feel like CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs. Like, there's no telling which order those guys are going to go in. I got it ranked Lamb, Jeudy, Ruggs. I think you got it ranked Lamb, Ruggs, Jeudy. But they're all, you know, right there in the same spot for me. You know, you could pretty much pick any one of those guys out of a hat, and I'm going to be happy. That's how closely I have them graded. CeeDee Lamb with a little bit of a bump up from Jeudy and Ruggs for me. But, I mean, again, you think all three of those guys are just, you know, in my opinion, you know, I think maybe Ruggs is coming in with more of a projection than Jeudy and Lamb. I think those guys are maybe a little bit more ready to make an impact, but I think with the traits that Ruggs has, like, he could definitely end up being the maybe not the best, but definitely, like, maybe the most impactful in an offense.
Yeah, so, I mean, I have a question. How high can you see a wide receiver going in this draft? Like, what's the absolute ceiling?
Like, you know, it's crazy because, like, would it... I don't expect this to happen, but would it shock you if the Giants took one at 4? Like, isn't that a Giants thing to do?
Only because the class is so good overall. Not the wide receiver class. The wide receiver class is good. But, yeah, I'm saying, like, that the overall class is really good. I mean, there's a bunch of, you know, offensive tackles that we believe can have, you know, an impact on day one in the NFL. We believe that there are multiple quarterbacks, a couple, you know, one linebacker, if you think that Isaiah Simmons is a linebacker, you know, a defensive end, a couple of corners. Like, it's a really good class at the top. So I would be surprised if it was at 4. But I truly believe that at 7 with the Carolina Panthers, there's a possibility. Like, that's the first place that I can really see it being a real possibility, because I think at the end of the day, the Giants are going to go with a trench player.
Right. I totally agree. I just, you know, it wouldn't because it's really shock me, you know, to see him do that, because, you know, wide receiver is a big need. The Panthers would actually shock me a little bit more because they just brought in Anderson and DJ Moore's a stud. So could you see them going with a guy early to kind of maybe be the number three guy right away?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, crazier things have happened, and that would shock me a little bit too. Just because I think DJ Moore's like a true wide receiver, he kind of broke out this year, and then they just paid Robbie Anderson a decent amount of money. But
yeah,
and
but
again,
but I think that's where our difference is. Because I don't think Robbie Anderson is.
Oh, I don't. Like, think
I
he's
think a, he's a mid-level wide receiver too.
I would agree, but they, like, what they, I mean, I guess he didn't get big money, but I kind of expect with his ties in with Rule and everything, maybe. But I mean, again, it wouldn't, like you said, it wouldn't shock me at all if, you know, I feel like with the way Robbie Anderson plays, you know, they would definitely be looking probably at a CeeDee Lamb instead of a Jeudy or Ruggs, because DJ Moore's kind of that versatile guy that can play inside and outside. Anderson's a guy who's going to stretch the field. So, like, Lamb makes a lot of sense there. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
No, I think so too.
I just really want to see, I don't know what it is, but, like, I feel like CeeDee Lamb in San Francisco's offense would be so much fun.
See, I think Jeudy would.
Well, I mean,
but I think that's part of me wanting to see what people thought about Dante Pettis is kind of what, I mean, they obviously didn't, I don't think, thought that he was as good as Jerry Jeudy, obviously. But I think people thought, like, he was this technician, he was a route runner, he stretched the field a little bit. Like, I want to see what that type of wide receiver could do in that San Francisco offense. So, I mean, but those are the three guys that we can really see, you know, and even if they don't go 11, 12, 13, you know, Denver at 15 wants one of those top three ones.
Right.
And honestly, I can see them trading up.
I think they're going to have to.
Even before that, you know, maybe they trade up with a team like Jacksonville,
right,
so they can have their pick, which would probably be Henry Ruggs.
Right.
Or, I mean, you know, they could trade back with Cleveland too, if Cleveland is okay to move back a couple picks. I mean, the need there at tackle isn't as much. So, you know, maybe Denver moves up in front of the Jets.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, like outside of those three guys, you know, Justin Jefferson's kind of like almost a first round lock at this point. You know, I'm not going to say a lock, but I mean, like it would surprise me if Justin Jefferson doesn't get drafted in the first. I think the same goes for Denzel Mims. I think both of those guys are probably going to end up going in that back end of the first round. Is there anyone else that you kind of see maybe slipping into the first round? You know, I think Higgins is probably more of a second round guy. You know,
so
I think Rager had a chance before he didn't run as fast as people thought he would. But
man, I keep hearing about Brandon Ayuk. Hearing about Ayuk in the first round.
Yeah, that kind of came out yesterday. Or
yeah, I never knew it, but there's some teams that might. Michael Pittman Jr. is starting to get a little bit of late love. But, you know, I think it's probably going to be CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, and then maybe Jalen Reagor, but probably not at this point. Like, I don't know. Like,
see, I didn't like Reagor's
testing
tape.
Hurt him?
What? I didn't like Reagor before. Like, not that I didn't like him. I just didn't have him as that, like, fringe first-round player.
See, I didn't like him last year when he produced, but I liked his tape a lot more this year when he didn't produce. But I felt like the QB play there was just so horrendous. But, you know, Justin Jefferson, Denzel Mims, like, I think five end up probably going in the first round if I had to guess. Because I do think that two teams late in that first, you know, whether it be the Saints.
Packers, Saints.
Or the Packers.
There's a few teams.
Baltimore. And then San Francisco at 31, if they don't take a wide receiver at 13, could do it as well.
Minnesota. Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if six plus go in the first round.
It wouldn't shock me. And that's what we were talking about. Like, we don't believe six should go in the first round, but it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if six went in the first round. Now, I would not like that because I think I'm a little bit lower. Like, my top six wide receivers are, like, to the mid-second round in grading-wise, but, like, I know one of them isn't going to go until, like, the fourth round, so...
Van Jefferson. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, other than that, it doesn't really matter. Like, I wouldn't love it, but, like, Denzel Mims is going to get a bump for production and testing. Michael Pittman will get a little bit of a bump for production and testing. And so, like, those guys will rise a little bit, but... I don't know. I don't love it.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're safe going with five guys for sure in the first round, but it just wouldn't shock me if you see six, even maybe seven, because of those wide receiver needy teams. And if a run does start to happen, the teams like Minnesota and San Francisco, if they don't go one early, like I definitely think they might try to get one of those last fringe round guys that we were talking about. But I feel like the second round is probably, maybe you disagree with me here, but maybe the second round, like my second round grades, I have a ton of receivers. Like some of those guys are obviously going to get drafted in the first, like we talked about, but like I'm a big KJ Hamler fan. Like his questions about his hands are obviously warranted. I think he has games that he kind of answers some of those questions where he doesn't fight the ball as much. He's able to kind of snatch the ball a little bit. But I mean, kind of like you were saying with Jalen Reagor, like his quarterback play was so bad. So you kind of have to take that into account, but I like Hamler a lot. I like, even though he's not, you know, like he's not what we thought he was going to be this time last year. Like I still like T. Higgins for what he is, as a big X. And then Michael Pittman Jr., he's a guy that I'm high on as well. So, like, those are my guys who I kind of see maybe going in that second round range. Do you have anybody that I didn't mention? I know you got a guy or two that you have up there on your board that might not be talked about as second round players.
No, I mean, I don't believe that Van Jefferson is going to go in the second round. When you look at his age, his production, like, that's where I have him. But I fully don't expect him to go until probably early day three, maybe. Hopefully to the Cowboys.
Wouldn't surprise me if he goes. Just, his route running is just so good.
I know.
Like, if teams watch tape, they have to, like, Like, even though, like, he's not
son of
a great...
And he's the son of a coach, too.
Yeah,
like,
he's not an explosive athlete by any means. Like, he's not going to, like, do anything. You know, he's not going to wow you after the catch or that thing. But he just gets open. Like,
yeah.
Teams gotta love him. Off the
so, I might have missed it. You talked about Jalen Reagor, Michael Pittman. You talked about... I think Brandon Ayuk probably goes early in the second. You talked about T. Higgins. I think, yeah, KJ Hamler goes in the second round. Did you say anything about LaVisca?
I don't like LaVisca.
That's fine if you don't like him. He's probably going to go in the second round.
Yeah, we're just talking about guys. Yeah. He should
go in the second round. Listen,
he's my first third round grade, so it's not like I absolutely hate him.
Here's
but...
what I need to. Yeah, well, yeah, he's got a low second from me. And he's a bad receiver. Like, we can be real about that. Like, he can't run a route to save his life. He hops into every single break he makes. Like,
terrible route runner.
It's not good. He's not a good route runner.
He's a running back.
Well, good Lord, when you put the ball in his hand.
He's a running back.
So, like, I think that you can use him in a plethora of ways, you know, kind of like
Debo Samuel.
A Debo Samuel or Curtis Samuel.
I guess,
it's all these Samuels, really.
I guess my issue with that, because we've been hearing that a lot recently, is, you know, Shenault being the next Debo Samuel. I guess my issue with that is like, I love Debo's nuances as a route runner. Like, he knew how to run routes, create separation, track the ball. Like, LaVisca does none of that stuff well. He's just like, oh, like, post ball in my hands, now I'm Debo Samuel. So it's like you almost have to just treat him as like the jet sweep guy.
He reminds me of a better with the ball, but way worse as a traditional receiver in Kiel Harry. Somebody who's like really good after the catch, really physical.
Yeah, I can see that.
Built a little bit bigger and stronger. I mean, obviously he's only 6 foot, which shocked the hell out of me. But your big one you said was the second round. My big grouping is actually in the third round. And I may have a surprise or two in here.
Well, before you get to that, I do want to say that I have a 2-3 on Bryan Edwards. I absolutely love Bryan Edwards. I think that, like we talk about with Reagor and Hamler, like, his quarterback play was absolutely horrible too.
I think you could absolutely take him in the second round and be absolutely happy about it.
Right. I mean, like,
I'm just hoping he's there at 82.
And I know we talked about this on Twitter, but like, I think Bryan Edwards, like, biggest impact he can make right away is from the slot. So like, that's why I hope, because I think that, like, I think that his route running's okay, but I think that that's like the area he might need to improve on the most. Like, he's
it for sure is. Yeah.
So like, I just feel like if he's able to get in the slot, and you like we're talking about with Dez Bryant, you know, I hate to keep going back to the Cowboys, but like, Dez Bryant in the slot, like, being able to use that big physical, you know, strong after the catch, strong with the football in his hands, like, just get him the ball, like, on some of that underneath stuff as he's developing as a route runner. Obviously, he can play outside too, but I don't know. I love his potential in the slot, like, in year one as he continues to develop his route tree and get better as a route runner. But like you said, he's my 66th ranked player. So, like, if the receiver board starts to get washed and they pick him at 51, like, I wouldn't hate it. But yeah, if you can get him at 82, I would just be – that'd be like the Michael Gallup pick all over again.
Yeah. My thing with him is, like, if you put him in the slot, he's probably going to go up, because a lot of the slot corners in this league are smaller guys, and I think that that's really where he does a lot of his best work is – really, you know, leaning into to smaller defenders and being able to break off of that, because, you know, like you've already mentioned, like, he really does need to improve his route running as a whole. But what he does do a good job of is using his frame and his explosiveness, because, listen, like, a lot of people look at him and don't see an explosive athlete, but he is a lot better than anybody thinks.
Right.
Like,
watch him after the catch and tell me he's not explosive. Like,
this is a dude who was going to run under a 4.5.
Yeah.
Most likely. There's a reason he broke out at age 17. He's literally in the 100th percentile of breakout age. He is the youngest to ever do it. You don't do that if you're a bad athlete. You don't come in at 17 years of age in college football in the SEC and produce like he did without being a good athlete.
With horrible quarterback play.
With bad quarterback play.
I mean, dude, I watched
quarterback play. Quarterback play this year got a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah.
But Helinski's still got a long way to go.
Right.
But like you said, I wouldn't be shocked at all if he goes in the second round. He had the highest third round grade for me. The next one is Brandon Ayuk for me. But we already said he's probably going to go in the second. When we get back from break, we are actually going to talk about the back half of this class when it comes to the wide receivers, where we think everybody is going to go. I have a bit of a surprise in the third round. Actually, two, if you think about one high and one low. But we'll get back to it after the break.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
And we're back on Talking the Draft. I would like to thank Blogging the Boys for allowing Connor and I to come in here and clown around on this podcast. I would also like to, you know, give a shout out to Vox Media, who hosts this podcast and is the reason why we're all here in the first place. So big shout out to Vox. And I think that's all the thanks that I have to give. Do you have any more thanks to give?
I don't.
Of course you don't, you ungrateful bastard. All right, let's get into these third round grades. And right off the bat, I want to talk about my second highest rank, or my third highest rank third round grade, over guys like T. Higgins and Devin Duvernay and K.J. Hamler and Courtney Davis and Colin Johnson and Quintez Cephas and K.J. Hill and Tyler Johnson and Chase Claypool. I have this guy in front of all of them. Donovan Peoples-Jones. Now, let me preface this. I was totally not expecting to like Donovan Peoples-Jones at all. And yet, I did.
Do you have him ranked? Like, do you have a total grade, like a total ranking on him yet?
Yeah, I mean, he is my one. 12th ranked wide receiver, and that is before testing and production. So there is a bit of wiggle there. Devin Duvernay might jump him. And T. Higgins, because of his production, might jump him, because I weigh production higher than I do athletic testing. So those two might jump him, but that'll be it. So he'll at worst be wide receiver 14.
He is my wide receiver 15th and my 100th ranked prospect.
Okay. I mean, he's all upside.
Right.
He is, as a route runner, pretty sloppy.
Yep.
I would even say at times he is lumbering off the snap. Like, if he is against off coverage, there is a higher than 50% chance he is not going very fast off the line. That is annoying. I said, depending on the rep, it looks like he's a completely different athlete. Sometimes he stands straight up and doesn't really care about the route. He does a good job on routes around the 90-degree mark when he's sinking and has to create separations. He's got strong hands to supplement change of direction. What I mean by that is he is good at pushing off without getting called for it. But he doesn't consistently leverage off defenders opposite the route break, and he allows himself to be mirrored too easily at times. And he drops a lot of passes. But good Lord, is he a great athlete.
Yep, he is. That is...
And part of the issue in Michigan is he literally never had a quarterback. And, you know, Shea Patterson was QB1 at one point, and I would just like to say to everybody that felt like he was going to be a good quarterback, I hate you for ever putting his name in anybody's mouth. He is not a good quarterback, and he... Never mind. Never mind, I'm not going to get that mean on the podcast.
You all right, buddy?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Shea Patterson just triggers me.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I like Donovan Peoples-Jones, but, you know, my other third-round grades, like I said, are Brandon Ayuk, who I have graded slightly higher than him, T. Higgins, Devin Duvernay, K.J. Hamler, Courtney Davis, Colin Johnson, and Quintez Cephas.
All right, yeah, I got third-round guys, you know, some of the LaVisca Chenault, Chase Claypool's a third-round guy for me.
He is a fifth-rounder for me because he can't move at all. He'll be an okay move tight end. He'll be a nice little seam threat. But he catches even worse than Donovan Peoples-Jones.
I wouldn't go that far.
Dude, his technique is horrific.
Yeah, I mean, he's another guy that you're kind of all upsiding on because, I mean, again, like, I didn't even move him. I went back and rewatched his tape after the combine and came away more happy with it post-combine than I did pre-combine, and maybe that's because I know what he has in him as an athlete. But I know, like, pre-Senior Bowl, I was kind of lukewarm on him. You know, didn't see a lot even in Mobile to make me change that, but... Definitely went back my second go around and liked him a little bit more. Van Jefferson's he's a third round grade for me.
Gross. That's terrible.
And really, honestly, like, he was definitely in my top. He's my 82nd ranked player, and he was, I want to say he was in the top 70 for me at one time, and then the injury at the combine bumped him down a couple of spots, unfortunately. And then, so, I have Claypool, Jefferson. We have Donovan Peoples-Jones. I'm a big fan of K.J. Hill. He's a third-round grade for me. I have Colin Johnson, third-round grade for me. Devin Duvernay, a third-round grade for me. And then Courtney Davis and Antonio Gibson are my final third-round grades.
So, well, that's a good one. So you have Antonio Gibson graded as a wide receiver and not a running back?
I have him as both, but I'm probably going to finalize my grade. Like, my grade for him that's entered is wide receiver.
Okay.
I was thinking about doing him in both categories, but it's just that makes it so much more complicated and double the work, and I'm lazy.
Yeah. It was very evident to me early on that he was going to grade out better as a running back. So I left him there, and it's simply because I don't think he's a great route runner. So my thing is, if you designate him as a running back, you will get more favorable matchups outside. And you can literally go zero personnel and just use him as your running back. I guess it would be 10 personnel if you list him as a running back. But, mm-hmm. like, there's ways that you can... Because, like, we all know that Noah Brown is a move tight end who goes in motion and blocks.
All right.
But he's listed as a wide receiver, so teams are stupid, and they still come out in nickel, and he's able to block a linebacker, and then you have a tiny little defensive back in front of Zeke Elliott, and... You know, Zeke ain't going to make a miss, but that secondary member ain't going to want to tackle him. So, like, you get in these favorable matchups because he is a mismatch weapon. So, like, when I talked to Antonio Gibson, like, he brought up Deebo Samuel by name. But more than anything, like, the kid just wants to have the ball, and he's best with the ball in his hands. So I felt like if you can get the ball in his hands, the best way to do that is at running back. So you can still line him up at wide receiver if you want to use him as your wide receiver four, or even in some situations your wide receiver three. You can do that. You can get him, you know, 6 to 12 carries a game on top of that, whether it be in jet or orbit motion, or in, you know, a read option type situation, or a triple option type situation, or you can do some of the fancy stuff that Shanahan did with Debo. Like, there's so many ways that you can use him. Just make sure that you get him the ball.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree with all that.
He got a third round grade from me as a running back as well.
Okay.
He's my running back six.
Gotcha. He would have, if I did him as a running back, which I did not, he would have been my running back seven.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a better prospect than Pollard was.
Well, me and you both did not like Pollard as a prospect, and I think that
we didn't. And I think that might be part of why I'm so high on Gibson, because I see, like, he's a better athlete than Pollard when you adjust for the weight. He, for me, is a better pure runner with the football than Tony Pollard was. Now, he obviously didn't get as many carries, and most of his carries were outside of the tackle, just trying to get him into space. But, like, I feel like with him being 6 foot, 227, like, I don't think that you're going to have any issues as long as you get him reps so he can get that vision down a little bit, because it is pretty much all projection at this point for him.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. It's in my opinion, it's Tony Pollard 2.0, except different size involved and maybe a little bit better athlete. So, I mean, you're looking at a guy who can play running back and play slot receiver, can return some kicks. Like, it's almost the same player, except just a little bit different size and maybe a little bit better overall athlete. So I'm really interested to see how the NFL uses him.
Like Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, except I think Gibson could be – I don't know.
I think he could be better. I mean, Ty Montgomery was a good player, but I think that Gibson could be a better running back.
Right. I think he's just a better athlete too. He can do more in space. And instead of going through all of our day three guys
– Yeah, since I don't want to do that.
Let's just go through some of our favorite day three guys. For me
– I don't have any.
What?
I don't have any.
Okay.
Seriously, though, like, there aren't many of these, like, day three guys that I love.
And this hurts me a little bit because of a lot of what happened this offseason, but I still really like Tyler Johnson. Like, the player. Like, I like his tape a lot.
Where do you have him?
He's his fourth round grade for me, 130th.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Because I think you put him in the slot, he's going to create easy separation. I mean, he fights.
No, why is he only a fourth rounder if you loved his tape?
I mean, he's an early fourth round grade for me, and a lot of it's off the field.
So you obviously didn't love his tape.
Why isn't Van Jefferson a top 20 pick for you?
Because I don't think he's good enough to be a top 20 pick for me.
But you love him.
Yeah, I love him exactly where I have him graded.
Well, I love
the mid second rounder. I would take him in the mid second round.
I love Tyler Johnson exactly where
the
I got
fourth,
him.
The fourth round is not love, Connor.
I love where, I mean, most people have Tyler Johnson as like a sixth round pick because of what they read on Twitter. If Tyler Johnson didn't have off the field concerns and didn't have such a disastrous offseason, where are most people slotting Tyler Johnson?
Third, fourth round.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't hear me talk like that because he's – I mean, again, like
– Dude, he's a super bad athlete.
Oh, I agree. I mean,
he's not good. And
that's why I think
that he's a good route runner, but I don't think that he's going to create the same type of separation at the next level, because I don't think he's sudden enough to create separation, and that's why I have him as a fourth rounder. Like, I think he's a good route runner. I think his hands are better than a lot of people talk about his hands being, but, like – He's not a run after the catch threat. No. He doesn't change direction very well. He can't run to save his freaking life. He's his release repertoire isn't great, but he has good body control, and he's a good downfield receiver. At the end of the day, he's less of a separating like slot guy as he is a 6'5 wide receiver in a 6'1 wide receiver's body. Somebody who wants to make contested catches out in wild situations.
Right, and that's like that's my number. You know, when I'm going through his tape, like. That ability to separate in all three levels, because I mean, again, he played a lot of slot and Minnesota, so he was doing a lot of the underneath stuff, a lot of the quick slants, and the quick passing game, and I think he could be successful in that role. But like you said, like I like his ability to separate downfield too, and again, like I like his change of direction abilities as a route runner, so that maybe I don't want to call it suddenness because he is kind of a lumbering guy. Did you say he was 6'1"? Is that what he came in at?
Yeah, I believe he was, okay. I believe he was 6 foot.
I expected him to like be a little bit bigger than that, and I think that he plays a little bit bigger than that, which is good and bad in a way. But yeah, I mean, again, for a guy who, in my opinion, has some tape and has some good qualities as a guy who can play inside and outside, I just feel like he's not getting as much love, and I feel like a lot of it's probably coming from what we hear on Twitter.
Yeah, but, see, that's where we differ. I don't see him as anything but a slot. I think he's too limited. Now, I don't think that. I think his best role is
in the slot, but I think he can play out. You know, he's one of those guys that I think can go outside and do some work as well. But I mean, his ceiling, the highest point of his ceiling, is definitely coming inside in the slot. Are you looking up where he came in at? Height wise, weight wise?
I'm trying to. I tried to go to Tyler Johnson and
nothing came up.
It was the Wisconsin Badgers.
Nice.
Tyler Johnson.
Awesome. That goes to, that explains a whole lot.
It's still the let me go to, I was trying to do it in Raz, but I'll go to mock draftable.
Another guy that I really like that I'm a little bit higher on while you're doing that is James Prochet out of SMU. He got a fourth round grade for me. I mean, again, another guy who's not a great athlete. He's not
six.
Fast.
He was 6'1".
Okay,
yeah, 6'1", 206.
That sounds about right.
Short arms, small hands.
That sounds about right. But yeah, James Prochet is another short guy, little shorter than 6'1". But again, not a great athlete. But I think he, you know, does have a nuanced route tree. His hands are as good as it gets, so he's definitely not in that same comparison with Tyler Johnson. But I think he's a guy that you could draft. Day three, I got a fourth round grade on him that's going to come in, you know, be that slot right, wide receiver and do a lot of the same things that we saw Cole Beasley do in Dallas for a long time. I mean, again, you know, he's not a guy that's going to take the top off the defense. He's not great after the catch. I think his catch radius is actually pretty good for a smaller dude. I mean, obviously for being a small guy, it's not going to be great, but like for his size, I saw him make catches out and away from his frame and really make some pretty insane adjustments to the football as well. So Prochet and Tyler Johnson are two guys that I like a lot more than some others.
Yeah, James Prochet, I think he's got some of the best hands in the class.
Michael Pittman, baby.
I believe his drop rate was like 2.5% of the passes his way were dropped. I mean, that's a ridiculous number. My issue with him is I like him, but I just know how athletically limited he is.
I mean, it's definitely
any small, but like if you're a guy that has hands like James Prochet does and you can bail out a bad ball, I'm going to like you. And he's not a bad route runner either. Now,
no, I like his route running.
Yeah, I mean, he reminds me a little bit of, like, if you miss out on KJ Hill, you can later on in the draft, like, you can throw your pen at the time, you know, do the Brian Broaddus fake pen throw. But then after that, you can just take James Prochet and say, well, if we put him in a good situation, he might be better than KJ Hill. And I could totally see that. So, yeah, I mean, he's a guy who I'm a little bit more fond of than I think most people. Like, I mean, we're talking about him possibly being a seventh round.
Yeah, I'm taking him way before we get to the seventh round.
Yeah. Other than that, like Joe Reed is a guy who I don't love, you know, as playing a receiver right away. But with his ability to kick return, I mean, that just period. Like, I think that the NFL is going to change the rule eventually, and the kick return is going to come back. I think they're going to put the ball at the 30 or the 35-yard line on touchbacks, and I think they're going to go 5 yards apart like the XFL did, and I think that they're going to beg teams to kick off the guys. So I think having a kind of Joe Reed on your team is going to be super important here soon. How do you feel about Devin Duvernay? Is he a third rounder for you?
Yeah, he was a third round.
Okay. Guy yeah, me too. I just couldn't remember.
Yeah, he's right there with Colin Johnson, his former teammate, and some of those other guys as a mid to late third round guy.
Yeah. How do you feel about Lynn Bowden?
I like him. He's going to be one of my guys that I'm going to have as like a day three, you know, guy that I like. He's going to probably end up. I haven't finished entering my grades, but he's probably going to end up with a fifth. I think, it's going to be probably a late five for him. I don't know. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a fifth. He's a later five for me. You know, he's just a guy that you're kind of projecting a little bit there as well. Really, really good with the football in his hands. I think that that's his best trait, obviously. He's got a little bit of, you know, who were we talking about earlier is a guy that, you know, like, oh, Laviska Shenault, like, everything up to getting the football is kind of in question, but once the football's in his hand, like, you're like, okay, like, I'm fine with this. I'm definitely a fan of his. I think that with some of the questions that you have about his, I mean, again, he played quarterback last year. You know, I know he played some receiver throughout his years at Kentucky, but I don't know. I like him. I just don't know. Like if it comes down to Lynn Bowden or James Prochet, I'm taking James Prochet every time. That's where I'm kind of at with those two guys.
Here's the thing. If you bring Lynn Bowden in, he's better than Cooper Rush, right?
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, he probably is.
But Lynn Bowden could be your Taysom Hill.
Yeah,
he could throw the ball five times a year. I would be comfortable with that. And so, like, the creative, you know, the artiste in me would like Lynn Bowden on my football team. But the coach, the coach makes that a little bit different. I don't really know if there's any other guys that I'm, you know, really huge on when it comes to the running back crew. Like,
you mean the receiver crew?
Yeah, that's what I meant. The receiving.
Well, here, let's take a final break, come back, and then we'll both give an answer, but the question we'll end with is which receiver not that we have graded as a first round receiver. You have three first round receivers, right?
Uh-huh.
Which receiver of not of the big three do you see having the most successful career in the NFL?
All right.
So kind of put the thinking caps on here, but we'll finish it off with that question after we take our final break. We'll be right back. We're talking the draft. All right, guys, and we're back on the Talking the Draft podcast.
You never know who's going to take us in and out of break.
Yeah, sometimes it's just, I got the recording up, you got the recording up, so we kind of just come in and out. We just
it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So, but we got a few minutes left. We wanted to finish this off with an interesting question. Somebody asked me this on Twitter the other day. Which receiver? They said which receiver of the NFL draft class that I think would have the most successful career, and even that's a tough question to answer, but I did want to take the three first-round guys, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, and Henry Ruggs, out of the equation and kind of just take a look at those late first, you know, and then maybe you know, maybe it could be a guy like James Brochet. You never know. So we're gonna take a look at the rest of these receivers and kind of give our answers and explanations why we think this player is gonna have his most successful NFL career out of any of the guys drafted in the 2020 draft class. Dalton, you're up first.
Oh boy. It's tough without knowing where these guys are going to go. So you would think that I would just go, hey, who's my next, you know, ranked receiver?
Right.
Well, that would be Jalen Reagor. Do I believe that Jalen Reagor, with his skill set now and my projection going forward, is going to have the fourth best career out of all these wide receivers?
No.
I don't. I believe that you're looking at a guy.
Don't steal mine.
Well, then you might as well go.
No, if you don't
want me
to.
No, you don't want me to steal. You might as well go.
Go ahead.
No, I couldn't possibly go now. I would feel so bad if I took your guy.
Just give me a hint of who your guy would be, and then I'll tell you if you can go or not.
Everybody is going to know if I give you a hint.
Oh, does it rhyme with can? Something you can drive around every once in a while?
Really?
I know how much you like him.
That's not who I was going to go with.
That's not who I was going to go with either. That's just who I thought you were going to go with. So go.
I think it's going to be Bryan Edwards.
I love that. I wasn't going to go with that, but
Bryan Edwards is still a young prospect, even though he's a senior. He is super physical with the ball in his hands. I think that he's a guy that you can get manufactured touches for, and even though he isn't, you know, your Tyreek, holy hell, your Tyreek Hill speedster type, he's the type of guy who is going to punish defenders at the second level, and somebody who has enough wiggle. Jesus, that's twice now. Has enough wiggle to make a guy or two miss and get yards after the catch. I mean, I just think that, you know, when you're looking at, you know, that day two and day three type of guy, he might be that guy that goes at the end of the second round. Well, the end of the second round is a bunch of better teams, and at that point, they probably have a better quarterback and a better offensive system overall, more stability, and, you know, he won't have that added pressure of being a first-round pick, because honestly, like, over the past a long time, your second-round wide receivers are outpacing your first-round receivers when it comes to production at the NFL level. So I think that he is one of those guys who, you know, even over guys like CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, and Henry Ruggs, like, we obviously think they're going to have the best careers out of everybody. But it wouldn't surprise me if the dude that broke out at 17 years old and I think is a much better athlete than he's given credit for and can still improve as a route runner could be the best wide receiver in this class.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. Obviously, I'm high on Edwards too, so I definitely can see that. I was actually going to go with Michael Pittman Jr., though.
I love it.
I think he's a guy that reminds me of what Kenny Golladay was a few years ago. You know, like a long, tall, you know, good enough route runner that's still got some athleticism there. Like, he reminds me a lot of what I liked in Kenny Golladay coming out a few years ago. So I can definitely see him going to a team to where he can test the field vertically. He's able to win on the slants and the post using that physical long body. He's good. I'm not saying he's great after the catch, but I think he's better after the catch than he's given credit for. Just because he's not like the shifty, small, super fast guy. Like, he still makes guys miss. I love his ability to just go up and get the football above the rim. I think he can be a very good red zone player with that ability to go up and get the football above the rim. I think he's got a guy. He's got everything that you could kind of think of as a guy that maybe gets overlooked in the draft class because he's not this elite route runner or he's not the big name. But, like, he produced at USC, you know, in the last 3 years, he was a very productive receiver there. His physical traits are impressive.
We also shouldn't discount his ability on special teams as well. Right. He has 4 blocked kick punts in his career at USC.
Yeah. I mean, again, he did everything for that USC offense. And just like the person he is, like when we talked to him at the Senior Bowl, like you can just tell, like He's not like an overconfident guy. Like, he's confident, but it's not like he's like cocky at all. Like, he has a good head on his shoulders. And I just think you look at those games like the Utah game last year, and like, that was probably the best receiver tape out of anyone I've seen this year. Maybe I'm missing a few guys, but like, he just absolutely dominated that game. And I think when you have that size, you have that, you know, sneaky athleticism, you're a pretty solid route runner as a bigger guy. Like, I think that your ceiling's pretty high. I'd love to see him land with a team. Like, I know the Colts don't really have a quarterback, but like, I feel like him and that Colts offense opposite of T.Y. Hilton would be a lot of fun. So I could definitely see Michael Pittman Jr., and I could also see Bryan Edwards having, you know, we look on back on this draft class 3 or 4 years from now and we go, those guys were way too good to go at the back end of the second or the early third where they're kind of projected. So yeah, that's about it. I just wanted to give the listeners a few more minutes of this just wonderful podcast before we got out of here.
Sounds good to me, brother.
I feel like we gave two good names too. Like, we didn't pick, like, it'd have been easy for us to pick like Jalen Rager or Denzel Mims or somebody, but like, we kind of went outside of the box. And I mean, again, like my guy Pittman, like, he just reminds me of Kenny Galladay, and like Bryan Edwards, and I don't even know who Bryan Edwards really reminds me of, but like, I just know in 2 years we're like,
he's
like Michael Gallup, kind of.
He reminds me.
He's not the
me
route
more,
runner Gallup was at Colorado.
He reminds me more of Dez.
I mean, that's I mean, that's like the obvious one.
Yeah, like, obviously he's not the athlete that Dez was. Dez was special,
right?
But that's the kind of receiver he is, at least.
We'll finish this since this is a Cowboys podcast. But like, who do you think that Michael Gallup receiver is this year? Like, a guy that. Like, it's probably, I bet you, I mean, not like, I'm not saying the playing style, but like a guy that, like, I mean, I had Michael Gallup as a first round player that went in the third round. Like, who's that guy this year? Is it Jalen Rager? You think that maybe people like just kind of fell asleep on? Is it, you know, a lot of people like Devin Duvernay? Like, I like Devin Duvernay, but people are treating him as if he's like this.
it's a Texas thing.
I know. I mean,
that's,
I know
all it is.
Like, man, who's the guy honestly, that's going to get picked in the mid-third and is just going to, like, I mean, it's probably the two guys we just listed. I mean, that's probably a question.
If I had to guess, it probably would be. I mean, I think Brandon Ayuk's going to get taken a lot higher than that. But I could see him, if he is taken in the third, to be, you know, that kind of, like, whoa, like, he kind of came out of nowhere. Like, we... Some people really liked him in the draft. Other people didn't like him as much. But, like, it's not super surprising that he broke out in the NFL, but it's kind of surprising. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's what I think that he could be.
I mean, for me, it would probably be KJ Hamler because I'm so much higher on him than a lot of people.
But are you?
I mean, yeah. Like, most people have him as, like, a third-round player.
I think you're thinking of just Cowboys fans that – don't want guys that don't have great catch radiuses and good drop rates.
Maybe.
I think it's the Cowboys lens.
Maybe. I mean, most of the people I talk to are like, yeah, he's, you know. I mean, again, like, do you have Hamler? You have Hamler as a third-round guy, right?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
He's a top 32 player for me, so I guess that's kind of what I was getting at. Is like, huh?
I said, yeah, you're gross.
Oh, yeah, he's gonna Tyreek Hill it up.
He's allergic to the football.
So is Jalen Rager, and you love him.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. Jalen Rager's hands are awful.
They are, sir.
Awful. But we gotta get out of here.
We're gonna settle this.
I'm not saying that Hamler's hands aren't awful. He's just he's got more speed, and he's a better route runner.
He's 160 pounds.
Yeah.
Of course he can move a little bit better. He's 160.
He's not 160. What are you weighing at? 179 or something like that?
Yeah. That's tiny, bro.
Yeah, we're fine. We're good.
No, we're gonna be good here in a second, damn it. I gotta get here.
What are you doing right now?
What am I doing? I'm looking up the drop rates.
Oh, you trust me. You don't have to tell me. Like, I get it. The hands are an issue for both of those guys. But
17% drop rate.
I mean,
17.
I dropped
his
football.
NFL comparison is Tavon Austin.
That is so gross,
isn't it? Oh, we just had him.
Yeah, top. What was he? The 6th overall pick a few years ago.
Yes, there's a reason why he shouldn't have been.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Rager's drop rate for reference is like 12.5 or 13. It's not good either. But yeah. Anyways, we got to get out of here. I'm sorry, everybody. This has been Talking the Draft. Goodbye.